Thank you for joining me today. As we come now to Thursday, just one day shy of Friday, the day we remember Christ's death on the cross, I have prayed that you and I both will be ready, prepared to honor the Lord for his great sacrifice for sin. We have covered quite a bit in our quest to be prepared for tomorrow and then Saturday and Sunday, proceeding from the cross to the resurrection of Christ. And we have done our homework, as it were, in Matthew chapters 26 and 27. And this week has brought us into Matthew chapter 27 to two verses of consequence, Matthew 27 verse 34 and Matthew 27 verse 50. And I am unfurling for you the details of these verses in order to demonstrate to you this biblical truth, that despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. Today I want to make one further comment on verse 50, answering a question I left us with yesterday, and then pivot to some final insights on the cross of Christ as we get ready for the weekend. On Monday, we'll drop down into Matthew chapter 28 and discuss the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So today and tomorrow, I will talk about the crucifixion, and then on Monday, turn to the resurrection. Please plan to be with me in the days that follow as we finish in this portion of Matthew's gospel. And last time I left us with this provocative question, did Jesus commit suicide? Did Jesus commit suicide? Given that Jesus was in complete charge of his own death, given that he decided the exact moment to, as verse 50 says, yield up his spirit, did Jesus commit a form of suicide? And the answer is no. No. Jesus did not commit suicide. For one, suicide is not permitted by God. And nothing that is not permitted by God is ever done by Jesus. Jesus perfectly and in all ways was obedient to God the Father, showing us, demonstrating for us how to be obedient. And so Jesus could not have committed suicide because to do so would have been to disobey God. It would have been to do to one's body what God does not permit. It would have been to have sinned. And Jesus never, ever sinned. This is what the Bible teaches us about Jesus. But beyond that, Jesus' death is about life. Jesus died not by taking his own life so that death could reign and rule. No, Jesus died so that life can reign and rule. By dying at his set and appointed time, Jesus gets the victory over death. In the words of the prophet Hosea, quoted by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In suicide, death wins. In the crucifixion of Christ, life wins. That's a difference so vast that we cannot measure it. We do not have a ruler or measuring tape long enough to do so. The point is this, Christ suffered and died so that we will receive life. Life eternal and everlasting, yes, and that our lives in the here and now will be animated with purpose, joy, and hope. Christ's death takes the victory, the sting, the agonizing hurt, and searing sense of loss out of death and transforms our greatest and deepest fear into merely a quick breath that transports us from life to life, from here to there, from earth to heaven. From Christ, who we worship while we cannot see, to Christ, who we will worship, who we will see. We will see Christ, to quote again Paul the Apostle, absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5:8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. If you do not know that passage, please read it today. And what I have just said applies to Christians only. I speak these truths to you who believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Because Christ's death is victory over death, the Christ follower's death is victory over death, and our death is our eternal life. Jesus is not to be pitied as a victim of death. That is what Satan would have us to believe. Rather, he is to be worshipped as the victor over death. And we shall see this again next week. Jesus' life and his death are both meant to grant unto us who believe in him life. Jesus is the life giver. Listen to Jesus himself in John chapter 10. We were in this chapter yesterday, but today I want to take us to a different verse. Today's verse is John 10, verse 10. 10:10. It's easy to remember. In the second half of this verse, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let me repeat these words of Jesus. I really want you to hear what he says to his people. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that's John chapter 10 at verse 10. This word abundantly in the original Greek text is very interesting. It applies to the word life, says Jesus, and it means beyond what is anticipated. If Jesus gives you life, then you have beyond what is anticipated. It means exceeding expectation. If Jesus gives you life, then you have what exceeds your expectation. Furthermore, this word means going past the expected limit. We could say life in Christ is more than enough. If Jesus gives you life, then you have more than enough. How true. I experience this daily. Truly, I can say daily in my life. How about you? Jesus' death is about life. This is his offer to you today. Here's a fact of life. If you attempt to live your life apart from Christ, then you will not live in abundance, but rather in constant want. And here's how the Bible means this. You will be weighed down with your sin such that life will feel like death. Since there is no forgiveness of sin apart from Christ, anyone who does not believe in Christ will not be forgiven. And that is the worst way to quote-unquote live, whereas life in Christ gives you and me an abundance of forgiveness and love. When we are forgiven our sins, all our sins by Jesus, then we will have a truly transformed and abundant life. Otherwise, we are like the walking dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, says the book of Ephesians, and we feel it. We know it in our experience, whether we acknowledge it with our minds and hearts or not. Just look at the world around you. Who is genuinely happy? Who is unafraid? Who is satisfied? Do we not live in a society that is ultra unhappy? That is afraid, and that is unsatisfied? Of course, we do live in such a culture, but that is why Jesus has come and died on this cross. He has come to give life and to give it abundantly, beyond what is anticipated, beyond your expectations, going past the expected limit, and more than enough. And again, the reason I am saying what I am saying, Jesus' death is about life. And that steals away even the faint hint of suicide. Jesus did not commit suicide. I hope that you will have that set straight in your mind today. Well, when we take these two verses in Matthew 27 and fill in our understanding of them, we see that despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. That has been our focus over the last few days here on God Is, and that brings us to the end of Jesus' human life in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 27, verse 50, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." He is dead. Jesus is as physically dead can be. But by his spirit, yet he lives. And beginning on Monday, we shall see that in bodily form, he is raised from the dead. As we make our way to the close of this broadcast and podcast, I invite you to listen to the detailed account Matthew gives us of the burial of Jesus. Just listen. Hear the word of God to you. I'll not say much about it. I think it's good from time to time for you to be attentive simply to what the Bible says without explanation, and I pray this will impact you in the way the Holy Spirit intends for it to do so. Let this text move you in your inward being. It is Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 66. Jot this down. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 66. And if you have your Bible there, turn to Matthew 27 and look at verse 57. I will now begin the reading of the text. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. That was Matthew 27, verses 57 to 66. Jesus is physically dead. His body is in the tomb, the grave, and the large stone is rolled against the entrance. A guard is placed there, and a seal is on the stone. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the life of Christ. Thank you for his death on the cross. Indeed, your one and only Son, Jesus, did not commit suicide, but he also did not die a death according only to the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil. No, Christ died for our sins by his own command. He yielded up his own spirit. Thank you for this rich and beautiful account that Matthew gives us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. I pray for the people listening, and I ask that each one of them will enjoy abundant life because they will believe by their faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. I pray especially for this man and this woman listening today who is like the walking dead because their sin is not yet forgiven. Draw him and her to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, join me again tomorrow, for God is...